I should be joined on the phone by Aoife Mulhall from the Dublin Simon community. Aoife, good morning to you.
Good morning, George. Thanks
good
for
morning.
Having me.
I believe it has brightened up. When I came in here this morning, trust me, I was drenched and I live across the
world. Oh, I know.
Absolutely shocking, but the weather's been kind to us, thank God, of a Monday. It doesn't happen very often, but anyway, we'll move on, shall we, before I put the kibosh on it and it starts raining again. Can you remind us, Aoife, where the Dublin Simon community is based and perhaps tell us a little bit about the services that you provide and a little bit about the history of it, maybe?
Yeah, no problem. Well, I suppose people would know us for our soup run. We were established in 1969, where our soup run was started, and it's operated by part-time volunteers. It would have been started by students from Trinity and UCD, and our soup run would still go out at 365 nights of the year, but we've also expanded, I suppose, George, as homelessness has kind of expanded, we've expanded our own services to meet the needs. So we have our soup run as well that's operated by volunteers, but we also have outreach services, our rough sleeper team, we have supported housing, we have emergency accommodation, we have treatment services. We provide homelessness prevention services, and we also operate in Dublin, Kildare, Wicklow and Meath ourselves. So we kind of expanded ourselves across those counties in the last number of years.
I mean, just to try and get the story right as far as the homeless mm-hmm. figures are concerned, do we know exactly how many people there are on the streets right now in Dublin today?
Well, I
has there been an increase
in
figures over the past, say, 5, 10 years?
Yeah, there definitely. I suppose people might be aware of, in the media last week was reported our rough sleeping figures. So we would conduct a count twice weekly in the inner city centre.
Yeah.
So it's within a very small kind of 5 kilometre radius area. And last Tuesday, just we counted 168 people bedded down in the city. Okay. And because that is such a small area, it's only an indication of, I guess, how extreme the crisis has gotten at the moment. And even now, just in August, there was just close to 3,000 adults in emergency accommodation in Dublin and just over 2,000 children. So those numbers are, you know, incredibly extreme. And I suppose it's kind of, it's the worst that we would have ever seen it.
Yeah.
And we're trying to, I suppose, expand our services to meet that need, to make sure people, if they do have to enter into homelessness, they're supported while they're there and then they're moved on as quickly as possible.
Do we know why there's been an increase in the amount of people sleeping on the streets? Is there any specific reason, or is it a multitude of reasons?
There is a multitude of reasons why people might enter into homelessness. Sometimes it can be just economic factors, so they might have lost their job or their rents have gone up and they can't afford them. And a lot of times people that we might have dealt with might have kind of underlying issues, so there might have been a bereavement in the family or, you know, different health or physical or mental health conditions that they might have entered into homelessness as well. So there can be a multitude of factors as well as the economic reasons of they can't afford to maintain a home. And I guess that's why it's so important the way our services would work, is that we try and meet all those needs, because our ultimate goal is to move people on so they can sustain a home of their own, whether that's in one of our supported housing, in our independent housing, or in their own place in, say, the private rental market or whatever.
Absolutely, and it's the knock-on effect as well, because if you find yourself homeless, there's serious problems there with social welfare. You can't get social welfare.
I suppose there is things available to people, but I guess because people know, I suppose everyone understands how difficult the rental market is at the moment, especially in Dublin and our clients, it's just finding it very difficult for them to be able to move on because they can't compete. Like, I suppose rents have just skyrocketed even within the city centre. So
yeah.
I guess what we're trying to do is increase our own housing supply so that we can provide that accommodation for people and for our clients, especially to move them out of, say, emergency accommodation where they might have been living for a number of months or even years sometimes if they've gone, you know, if they've been experiencing homelessness for a long time. We have different types of accommodation. So we have supported accommodation where there's staff on site during the day and at night. For people that might have higher support needs, so they might have physical or mental health issues. And we also have independent accommodation as well that are just, we have a housing management service that would look after them. So they kind of act almost as a landlord just if there's any issues with the property. But for people in those, they're able to sustain their own accommodation. They just can't afford to access somewhere in the rental market. So
and again,
we're able to provide that for them, which is great.
I knew I'd be talking to you this morning, Aoife. Mm-hmm. I had a look over on the internet over the weekend. I read some testimonies, and it really is a case of there before the grace of God goes anybody. Am I right?
Yeah, no, definitely. Like, I guess, and I suppose the longer I'm in this job and the more people I meet, it really, like, I suppose anyone who, it's just, it's so unfortunate the things that people have to go through, and it is so, it's so easy for it to happen. Like, often we say that people are often only one paycheck away because you don't know what could happen, especially with the way the rental market is at the moment, as I said, or if someone loses their job, if they don't have a support network around them, or they might not have friends or family to stay with, it can very easily happen to anyone, really. And I guess that's why we're trying to, you know, all our services are trying to meet that need to work with, I suppose, all the different types of people that are coming into homelessness now, especially. And our prevention teams are so important in that, that we're trying to, we have clinics based in the Dublin City Council areas that people can drop in if they're worried about their tenancy, and just receive some advice, because obviously it's best for everyone if people are able to be sustained and supported in the homes that they have already, rather than them having to enter into homelessness and go through that system.
I mean, God forbid it should happen to anybody listening to this this morning, Aoife. But if the worst does come to the worst, what's the first thing that you should do?
Well, I suppose the best thing to do would be contact one of our services. We have a list of all of our services available on our website, dubsimon.ie. And even just give us a call in the office. Our number is 671-5551. And just if anyone is concerned, we can pass them on to the right service that's applicable to them. And then we can kind of link them in. If there's other support services they need, maybe they need to link in with Threshold or one of the other agencies that work in this area. But I suppose getting in touch initially is the first point, and then we can give them the advice of whatever they need and support them in any way we can.
Now, you mentioned Threshold as well. They work in this area too. It's a networking between your organisation and Threshold, and maybe other organisations as well.
Yeah, there would be, definitely. Good, I suppose we work with a lot of different organisations across Dublin, I suppose, to ensure that there isn't any overlap of services and to make sure we're all working together and in the same, in a similar way, so that, you know, all the services we're providing are moving people, because a lot of people would access different services depending on their needs. So working together is extremely important, especially because the crisis has gotten so extreme of late and in recent months.
Yeah. Now, I believe there's some good news to be announced. I don't know who was involved in the process of making the agreements, but I believe the government now has agreed to fund treatment and fund 200 bed places. Am I right?
Yeah. There was just recently, and I suppose it's so important now as we've seen the numbers of sleeping increase. So Minister Cogney just on Thursday announced that there's going to be 200 extra emergency beds introduced from, I think it's November this year, which is so important, again, because we are seeing, like, it was 168 last Tuesday, and that was just in the inner city. So those beds are vital to move people off the street, especially as we're moving into the colder months. And then also the long-term kind of initiative to address the homeless situation as it is now and move people on. And we were also delighted to see Minister Simon Harris as well at the launch, discussing treatment services, because I suppose, as I mentioned, homelessness can occur as a result of physical or mental health conditions, but it can also cause a lot of issues for people. So we would have a range of treatment services ourselves. We have detox recovery and aftercare for people who are recovering from alcohol addiction. We also have a counselling service. We have nurses in our services. We have doctors. So it's vital for us to see the kind of cross-departmental elements of Rebuilding Ireland and how that recognise that it's part of the solution, that people working across different departments and different areas and different funding coming from different areas is going to be so important to move people on. And part of the announcement the other day was we have our treatment services are based down at Ushers Island, and Minister Simon Harris announced that they're going to be funding at what's called a step-up, step-down facility at Ushers Island. So that would be for people experiencing homelessness who may be coming out of hospital or about to go into hospital, say for treatment or for surgery. So they have that base there, and we're going to have some beds allocated there for people, because I suppose that's always a concern for our clients if they have to go into hospital for treatment or surgery, that they might not have anywhere to go afterwards. So it's so important that that service is introduced.
Would it be fair enough, Aoife, to say that this is a major step forward, or is that overstating it?
I think it's a major step forward, that it's the plan is in place and there's deadlines and there's targets and everything is outlined and it's agreed, and it's very, I suppose it's just so important to see that there is something that's tangible, even for our clients, to give them hope. Like I said, one of the figures that we mentioned last week was, say, people who might have been accessing our emergency accommodation in 2015, only 10% were able to move on to some kind of permanent housing afterwards. So that could have been either into supported housing or independent living or something like that. But, you know, when you think about the clients that we work with that might have been either rough sleeping or accessing emergency accommodation for a number of months or even years, you know, they're so worried about their possibility for moving on and finding a home for themselves in the future. So the fact that this plan has been introduced and there's specific things that address their needs, as well as the needs of, you know, families accessing hotels and for children and everything, which is so important. So it is, it's very encouraging, and we're very positive about what's been introduced so far.
And I've got to ask the question, is this funding a once-off or will it be maintained and sustained?
For the treatment services, well, we would receive funding for our treatment services from the HSE, which is ongoing funding. And I suppose we ourselves are trying to expand our treatment services, because we've been operating out of the unit at Ushers Island for a number of years. I think we first opened it in the 90s. And it is, again, so important for people, because they can access our detox service, which is a three-week program, and then they can move on to recovery and then on to aftercare. But we also, that's why we want to, I suppose, expand our own housing services, that people, once they go through treatment and go through those services, that they have somewhere to go. So it's only kind of with the support of the government and also the support of our donors, and we receive such, you know, amazing support across communities, from individual donors to companies to community groups, that we're able to, you know, source and acquire accommodation ourselves, that we can provide that for people and move them on from homelessness for good, and they don't have to go back into, you know, emergency accommodation or sleeping.
I think it's great, because, you know, we're talking about human beings here.
Yeah, definitely. And I suppose everyone's experience is different as
exactly,
well.
Exactly, yeah. And these are people with talents. Maybe many of those talents are untapped, if they can get themselves
definitely. We
into
have,
courses or something.
We have learning development services as well. That's cool. You know, we're trying to sustain people and move them back to employment or education if that's what their interest is in. So all of that is so vital. But people ultimately need somewhere to stay. You know, that's the main priority. And then we put the supports in around them, they're able to sustain it themselves.
Yeah, and I can only imagine if you've been on the streets for a while, maybe years, and you do eventually get that place of your own, there is an adjustment period, because this is wholly new to you. Are there enough supports in place there to help people just get back into the normal flow of society and to make
definitely.
That change for
like,
them
well,
a little
a lot
bit
of
better?
We provide a support to live independently service. So for people who are moving from homeless accommodation into their own place, we provide support for probably about 6 to 9 months. So to make sure that go through all those things with people, so helping them, you know, managing their money, paying bills, doing their shopping, you know, linking in with kind of education supports and different supports in their own community. Because obviously we want to be able to sustain people, that they're able to, you know, manage their home and get whatever support they need, and even just get some advice. Because I suppose if someone has been in that system for a period of time, they could have been constantly surrounded by people, so moving into their own place might be quite daunting. And so our kind of main priority for our support to live independently service and our housing management service as well is linking in people with support in their own community. So whether that's different groups, even just small things like knowing where their doctor is, knowing where to, you know, where the schools are, where different education opportunities for themselves are, even bus routes, different things like that, just to make sure that people are supported and comfortable and secure, and, you know, they feel that they're able to sustain their home in the future.
And for people who'd like to help, they're listening to this, they may not know anybody who's ever been made homeless. If there is anything that they can do to help, is there anything they can do to help?
Definitely. Well, we've lots of kind of different opportunities for people to get involved. Our website, dubsimon.ie, so it's dubsimon.ie, would be kind of the first point of contact. So we have, you know, different fundraising opportunities and volunteering opportunities there. And we also have our annual fun run coming up this Saturday on the 1st of October. It's in the Phoenix Park. It's actually the longest running charity event in the Phoenix Park. So we're still, registration is still ongoing. So if people want to register for that and take part, it's funrun.ie. And we're going to have, it's a 5 mile run through the park, and we're also going to have lots of kind of entertainment and activities, and there's kids races and different things going on, and food sampling, and we've bands and stuff during the day. So it's going to be, it starts at 10 a.m. on Saturday.
Great.
So it's a great day for everyone to get involved and support.
Can men do this as well? Because we seem to be left out of all the fun runs now.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Not that many men will complain, by the way.
Yeah, all ages, all, you know.
And you don't have to run it. You can walk it, am I right?
You can walk it, yeah. You can walk it. Some people skip it. There's lots of things going on. But, yeah, there's kids races for under 12s as well, which are free. So even if people aren't able to do the run, even if they come along and then say, we'd love to see people's support. And it's a great chance to bring everyone together as well.
Great. So can you remind people where this is?
It's in the Phoenix Park at 10 a.m. this Saturday. It's funrun.ie if anyone wants to register and take part.
Well, Aoife, thanks a million for talking to us this morning
so much,
here.
George, appreciate
great
it.
Stuff. If you have anything coming up to Christmas, any special events or whatever planned, keep in touch and we'll rock
and roll. Yeah, definitely will do.
Absolutely, absolutely. Aoife, you're a star. Thank you.
Great, thanks so much.
Great stuff. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And I was joined there by Aoife Mulhall from the Dublin Simon Community.